for the fourth straight year, Basilica Hudson's founders and creative directors, Melissa Oftemar and Tony Stone, are working in collaboration with Pitchfork managing editor Brandon Stosi and Brian Duran of Leg Up Management to program Basilica Soundscape. Basilica Soundscape is, well, quite frankly, very cool. It is a carefully curated weekend that has been called the Anti-Festival for offering a thoughtful mix of music, visual art, and literature. It runs from September 11th through the 13th at Basilica Hudson. Melissa Oftemar and Brandon Stosi join us this morning to tell us more. In addition to his work on Basilica, Soundscape is managing editor at Pitchfork and music curator at MoMA and PS1.
Is he on the phone?
I believe he is.
Hey,
How are you?
Yeah, I'm here on the phone.
Very nice to have you on the telephone, Brandon. Melissa is in the studio, and so this all begins September 11th through the 13th. How has it? First of all, we'll talk specifically about what's going on, because there's a lot going on, and we need as much time as we can to get to everything. Mm-hmm. However, how has it changed over time? What have you learned in 1, 2, and 3 to make 4 the best ever?
Good question, Brandon. Let's see. Well, Brandon, yeah, it's the fourth year working with Brandon. I feel like in many ways, Brandon, would you agree the process hasn't changed much at all as far as our ways of curating and connecting the dots of how to flow the weekend in and out of kind of a good balance of sound and visuals. How would you say it's changed, Brandon, as far as this year to last, or has it? Maybe it's just a natural evolution morphing, but
yeah, I feel like in some ways, maybe in kind of a nice way, it sort of remained the same. And I think it's still fairly shaggy dog the way we do it. Like, you know, we'll just kind of start coming up with band ideas and artist ideas and go back and forth and trim it down. And it's kind of finding interesting connections through that, kind of starting with a huge mass of things and kind of chiseling it down over time. So in that way, it's kind of remained the same. But I think maybe at this point, we've learned a little bit more about sort of solidifying the sound itself and finding like the correct person to do sound for us. We've like had the same person a couple years in a row now, and I think maybe that's where it shifted, is
that's true.
Finding
production
that kind of area and like this, yeah, the production stuff, you know, like having the same production manager as last year, and that's where it's really settled in. But I think the process of organizing itself has kind of stayed the same, which is kind of nice, because it's not like we found a formula. We just kind of, each time, it's almost like starting over again.
Yeah, and it's preserving the gut instinct part, or the shaggy dog, however you want to say it, but we're kind of really following instincts, following friendships, connections.
Yep.
We're all music and art fans, so following just like what moves us.
So that idea of shaggy dog, you use it in the press release as a carefully curated.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you want to be very careful as to mm-hmm. what you do, and which makes it sound, which I assume it is, a very thoughtful process of how it all unfolds.
Yeah, thoughtful and mindful, as well as experimental. So you have, when you're going to be experimental a bit, as we have been, you want to be careful, because you don't want to like have it fall apart or make it be totally insane. Like, there's a careful experimental element to it, I suppose.
Can you give an example of that, of something that is, okay, this, we're going to give this a shot, see
mm-hmm.
what happens, but meanwhile, it is experimental, but we have confidence in it.
Yeah, I mean, I will give one, and it'd be good, Brandon, if you gave another. But for me, the pinnacle moment of Soundscape was Soundscape 2013, which was our second one we did with Brandon. There was this moment where the visiting artist, Matthew Barney, created a collaborative, fully experimental, interactive performance between 4 very different bands, and worked with his composer Bepler to conduct 4 bands playing at the same time in the middle of the room. It was pretty much never been done before, and while it was happening, that's when I realized that we'd sort of really struck a chord of, we were there till like 2 a.m. the night before trying to imagine how this would actually work, both with the audience, with the sound. And that's when I realized that the careful exploration and careful partnering and exploring would make for this never been seen and done before. So that's an example of very careful, but really successful. And that's when I knew we had sort of found the right balance of trying something new every time.
And Brandon, your moment?
I think that was a great one. And I think last year we had this idea of between Deaf Heaven and Swans, instead of kind of losing the momentum by having just sort of putting music on over the PA, there was this idea of, like, why don't we have Greg Fox, who was here with his band Guardian Alien and who's an amazing drummer, what if he does a drum solo between the two sets to kind of function, instead of, you know, losing that momentum and having the music pipe on, just have him do this drum solo and continue the momentum right into the Swan set. And he did that, and it was amazing. And I heard from a few people, including, you know, Matthew Barney, who came back the following year to attend Basilica, that it was his favorite moment of the whole festival, just kind of having this stripped back moment. And he performed up on this balcony that overlooks the space, so people weren't expecting it. And, you know, these sort of barn door kind of thing slides over, and he's up there playing, so everyone's kind of looking up at him doing this huge, amazing drum solo. So for me, like, that kind of thing works really well. Or the way we've been mixing in writers and poets. So, you know, you're having last year, too, where, you know, a space filled with over 1,000 people completely silent while Meredith Graves does a talk, which I think is unheard of in sort of a kind of festival zone, that an entire crowd would be quiet and just watch this single person speaking for a half hour. So that was amazing, too, I thought.
Yeah,
I do want to mention that folks can follow along, or they can find out the complete schedule by going to basilicahudson.com, and all the information is there, and we'll tell you the full schedule for the Soundscape, which takes place the 11th through the 13th at Basilica Hudson. So, film events, music events, art events, which would you like to start with?
I mean, I guess the programming really does start with the music.
Sure.
We sort of build the sort of center sound and the ones that happen in the main hall. So we kind of chisel away from there. So, Brandon, you might want to talk a little bit about Hacks and Cloak and how that was sort of been a pillar from the beginning in terms of our programming, right?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's one thing that I was mentioning to someone is that one thing we've been lucky with is sometimes there'll be an artist we want and it doesn't work out the one year, then it works out the following year. And
right.
So the year before last, we had wanted Swans, and because of scheduling issues, it didn't work. They were in Eastern Europe at the time, and it just wasn't going to happen. And last year, we'd wanted Hacks and Cloak, and he was very close to doing it, then ended up getting a tour that he kind of couldn't turn down, and which found him in Europe as well. And so this year, he was the first person that we asked very early on, and he quickly agreed to do it. And so that was sort of this, you know, as Melissa says, kind of this pillar to the night, and kind of working around that and seeing that as kind of the closing act and sort of finding a way to build up to that moment and sort of maintain this kind of intensity, but also having like a dynamic where things go up and down. And so before him is Perfume Genius, who will be doing a special set just for us that he's sort of tailoring for the night, and it's going to be more of a stripped back set than he's been doing recently. And so I kind of like that idea of having this solo performer back-to-back with another solo performer, but just sort of a very different kind of music. And it turns out they're both fans of each other, and so there was, for a time, this attempt to have them collaborate in some way, which ended up not working out. But again, it's one of these things where it's nice that the people that are performing at Basilica Soundscape are actually game to try these sorts of things. And like you're saying, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But just the very fact that the dialogue happened and these two guys are going back and forth and figuring out, hey, how can we maybe make something, is part of the spirit of the whole event, I think, where you're getting acts who are game to try this kind of stuff. So that he plays before them, and in a similar sort of thing, we have a drum trio as well. And maybe, Melissa, if you want to talk about that, because you were kind of the person piecing together that.
The Greg Fox solo was such a pinnacle, exciting moment last year. And another amazing moment last year was when the Gamelon Orchestra, I don't remember how many there were, like 35 of them in the center of the room. And when there was this amazing moment where things change from, instead of just focusing on a stage, which is like well, I guess why we're like pretty anti-festival, is that there are moments where you turn your head in a different direction or you're in the middle of the set. So the idea for the drum circle, because we also had a music festival earlier in the spring called 24-hour drone, and we had Greg Fox actually back doing a drum solo in the middle of the room, in the midst of the crowd, and drums alone unamplified in the middle so close to the crowd was so exciting after loud sort of sonic amplified music. So we're taking that idea into this, but having three drummers in the middle of the room in a triangle and sort of echoing a bit of what happened with the Barney Bepler one in 2013, where the performers are in the room, in the middle of the room with the audience, and then that kind of just keeps all the sound moving from different starting points. Like, and that's what's really, and we also have a North Hall where there's other acts at play. So once we kind of get the list of people, we start moving them throughout not only the schedule but location in the building. And I'd say that the reoccurring feeling for band and audience when specifically in the music performance front with Soundscape is it's a very unique experience. It's not like an outdoor stage and you're just staring at one outdoor stage, or maybe sometimes walking to like a smaller stage in the field. It's all encompassed in this one big beautiful building, and anyone who's been to Basilica can visualize an 1880s, you know, beautiful factory with rafters and lots of shadows and lots of textures. And then the performances really just keep moving. At some point there's never even a moment of break. It just keeps rolling into like a solo thing, a reading thing, a little like nook in the corner with a video art installation. And then you go into the other room, then you walk through to the beer garden court, and there's a lot of just movement. We also have like another small, it's like, for lack of a better word, side stage on the outside, but a local record shop owner in Hudson, New York, Dan Bunny, who runs John Doe Records, he has a little pop-up record store that he has in our side building, which normally functions as Kite's Nest, our alternative education team who lives at Basilica. And he creates this little record store, so selling vinyl, selling vintage clothes, but then he's having little in-store performances there too. And it's like a very different than any other, the spaces and the way that all the sounds are crossing over into each other makes it very different and exciting experience for both performer and audience.
So here's the problem when you have something like this, because there's so much going on, as you say, it's all morphing into each other. So we have 2 minutes. So give us a 2 minute highlight reel of, because so we've talked a lot about the music, but as far as art and literature of what we can expect from that.
Well, Basilica has a new art gallery space in the back. When we came to WMC a few months ago with Jack Walls, we have a beautiful white cube space, and there's going to be an art show opening there curated by Michael St. John, who's a very established and respected artist who has used to teach at NYU, and he's actually curating a bunch of former students that are also now quite established. So it's going to be an interesting art show in the back. Then we have some video art, and Brandon, you being the more literary type, booked the amazing Ladies in the Rafters. There's going to be some readers up in the rafters again. And what would you say they're kind of, they're reading, they're poets, they're writers?
Yeah, there's so three different poets who are three poets, but who are quite different kinds of writers. And so, you know, Dorothy Lasky, who's coming more from like a language poetry, more experimental kind of poetry, and then Sarah Alexander, who I kind of first heard of through Dennis Cooper, a writer in Paris now, but from LA, who I'd actually done my graduate work on, and he was talking about her work, and I first saw her via her Twitter account. So she kind of is one of these people who's very active in social media, and her poetry kind of has that feel to it as well. And then Ariana Raines, who, like, the way I summed her up is when I asked her if she wanted to play or wanted to read, she wrote me back and said she was currently walking by herself across the Golden Gate Bridge so she'd get back to me later. And so, like, she has this kind of, like, hard to track down, hard to pin down kind of person who's just, like, wandering around all the time. Hard to kind of get
That's
to...
That's a good excuse.
Things. So she, yeah, that was a great excuse. I was like, yeah, it's perfect. So it's, like, three very different writers, and they'll all be reading from up in that rafter area where Greg Fox had performed and where last year we had people reading as well.
And one other highlight, other than amazing readers and art, is that doors open at 6 and at 5, and our in-house phenomenal farm-to-table organic all-local sourced food chef, Nicole LeBou from Elementary Kitchen, makes phenomenal feasts, and you can come early and have dinner, and it's all ages, important to know, too, and it's a really, it's a full come early and have the full experience.
And real quick, all of this is happening the 11th through the 13th, but there's also a precursor.
Oh, yeah. Godspeed You Black Emperor this Tuesday. We are, that's an example of a band we wanted at Soundscape. They couldn't do it, but they wanted to play. A lot of bands love to play our industrial church, so they requested to just play on Tuesday, and we looped it in. So that's Tuesday night. Godspeed You Black Emperor, they were here in 2012. Come down and see them. Tickets are $20. And then on Sunday, it's free, open to the public, a preview for our Basilica Farm and Flea and an amazing brunch. And that's going to vendors, crafters, and amazing brunch open to the public.
Well, a tremendous amount going on, and hopefully you something is stuck in you, and you can and say, oh, I want to find out more about that, and you go to basilicahudson.com to find out more information. Basilicahudson.com for more information. Soundscape runs from the 11th through the 13th. Again, there's the Godspeed You Black Emperor show on Tuesday. You can find out more, basilicahudson.com.
Camping available, too.
Which is very cool. I was reading about that last night on the site. Very, very cool. Melissa, Brandon, thank you very much. Have an awesome weekend.
You, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.